milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, notice this word, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is, notice the word again, precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Have you enjoyed it so far, reading down through this? It's wonderful, isn't it? Now watch this in verse number 11. Dearly beloved, isn't it good tonight to be a part of the beloved, to be a part of the children of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I beseech you. Now that word more or less means to beg. I urgently plead with you. Peter said, as strangers and pilgrims. How many believes when we get saved, this world's not our home? We're just passing through. He said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Everybody see that right there? Now here's my text tonight, which war against the soul. What I want to preach on for a little while tonight is winning the war against the soul. Winning the war against the soul. We have an enemy tonight, but thank God greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Brother Aaron, stand and pray for me tonight, would you please, brother? Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Winning the war. I've got five little things to talk about here in this text tonight and winning the war against the soul. Let me ask you something. How many already agrees with Peter and you understand that fleshly lust war against the soul? How many believes that tonight? But Peter knows what he's talking about in this warning. And these exhortations, these warnings in the Bible are set there for a reason. I personally believe also that they're set there from experience. I think when Paul is warning against things and Peter's warning against things, how many believes that they're common men just like we are? Amen. And that they understand some of the things that the church is facing. And I want to give you just five things quickly in winning the war against the soul. The first thing that came to my attention was the word babes, as newborn babes. Some are not winning the war against the soul because they practically, beloved, listen, never been born again. They don't have a relationship with God. And so they're not winning that war against the soul. The first step in winning the war is getting to Christ, amen, and being saved by the grace of God. It's a losing battle. If you don't have the victor living in you, then you can't have the victory that comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible said, as newborn babes. And when a person gets saved by the grace of God, The next word that I wrote down was the word Bible. We need to make sure we're saved. It comes from the word babes. But then we need a Bible. The Bible said as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I'm telling you tonight, I believe we'll lose the war without the book. We need the book. Amen. To me, it's amazing that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights and out in the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. And if you'll remember, every time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And no wonder that David, after David's fall with Bathsheba, after having Uriah killed, after being out of fellowship with God and losing his joy, in Psalm 51 he cries out to God, restoring to me the joy. But in Psalm 119, David said, thy word, he figured out something, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. And so there's going to be no winning the war without the Bible. We've got to be that babe. We've got to be born again. But then we need our Bible. Amen. How many believe this book comes alive? Listen, the natural man understands. He don't understand. He don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But when a man gets saved by the grace of God, this precious old book becomes his life. Amen. And he enjoys the Word of God. There's much that could be said right there, but I think that's enough for now. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God. And thirdly tonight, I want to use the word bridegroom. Look here with me, if you will, starting in verse number 3. The Bible said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many believe when you get saved, you get a taste of the grace of God? I tell you, you can't taste it anywhere else except through the Lord Jesus, except through Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And there becomes a relationship. A lot of people, I believe, they think that getting saved is about religion. But beloved, getting saved is not about just a religious experience, but it's about a relationship with Christ, the Lord. Just as a couple are married and they too become one flesh, God wants us to be involved with the bridegroom. Look here in verse number 3, he said, have you tasted the Lord is gracious? If so be, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Three times in the text, beloved, God calls his son precious. I believe tonight, listen, when you are in love with the bridegroom, you'd have to agree with Peter when he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And something that's precious to you, beloved, is someone you want to spend time with. It's someone you don't want the things of this world getting between you and him. And you can win that war with the soul when he is your all in all. And he is, beloved, the Bible said over there in the book of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I believe tonight, listen, I've lost some battles. Say amen. Yes, sir. I've lost some battles in my Christian life with the soul. But thank God I win the war because of Christ the Lord. Amen. They fleshly lust war against the soul. Look here. He exhorts us in this text. He says, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Brother John, that's that foundation that standeth sure. That's that hope. We're not built upon sinking sand. We're built upon a solid rock. Amen. And that relationship with him is precious. He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, not be confused. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. I believe tonight that our relationship with the bridegroom is so important. He exhorts us in these verses, and then in verse number 21, he gives us an example. Our example, beloved, listen, is Christ. The Bible said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Let me ask you a question. What do these TV evangelists do with a verse like that? Say amen. They say, if you love God and live for God and get saved and give us $200,000, you'll never have any trouble. What do they do with that verse? The Word of God said Christ suffered and he left us an example and that we should follow in his steps. What's that mean? That means, beloved, when we suffer, we don't need to be running our mouth. We need to be just like he was, as a sheep led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Amen. Thank God tonight for the example of Christ our Lord. The Word of God said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I had a woman tell me, it's been a couple years back now. She said, Pastor, I'm mad at God. I said, I'll tell you this much, sis. It'd be a lot easier to deal with if you were mad at me. Somebody say amen. Why do we want to get mad at the one that created us? Mad at the one that saved us? I tell you, things sometimes don't go the way we think they ought to go. But I'll guarantee you this, beloved. He is on the throne, and he loves you, and he loves me. And one day after a while, when we get home, we're going to understand that it was best to follow in his steps. Amen. And walk with him. The Bible said, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. You know, I'd like to read those words to the president. Every time we turn around, we got somebody defending him, saying, well, he just punches back. He's a counterpuncher. I tell you what's the truth. I tell you what a glorious day it would be if God would, I'm telling you, just put somebody that would say, listen, we need the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. Amen. And beloved, listen, if you're going to hit me, it doesn't mean it's time to hit you back. It means it's time to pray for you. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that would be wonderful. Jesus set the example. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So I see tonight, in winning the war, it's important that we're born again from the word babes. The Bible is very important. The bridegroom is very important. But let me give you something else that's very important. A lot of people wouldn't say this, but it's true. And that's the bride. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Brother Aaron, we need each other. Let me show you right here in the Word of God. In verse number 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Beloved, listen, we're not on an island isolated by ourselves. We're the body of Christ. I believe as we draw near to the coming of the Lord Jesus, we're going to need one another more and more every day of our life. Amen. The Word of God said here that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. Beloved, listen, the Gentiles were looked on like dogs, but God took that wild olive tree and grafted us in and give us a place. Amen. Hallelujah. And we ought to, beloved, tonight, listen, understand that we're not operating alone, but we're operating together as the body of Christ. And we need one another. We need the body. We need the bride. We need the brethren. You say, preacher, look at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. There's only one group of people that I know of that in this world today that are strangers and pilgrims. That's the bride of Christ. Beloved, listen, everybody else has got their stakes drove all the way down into hell in this world. But we're ready to pull up, aren't we? Amen. You say, preacher, what's going to happen? We're going to pull up and go up. Amen. I'm going to tell you, listen, a lot of people act like they're going to take it with them. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Amen. We come in naked. We're going out naked. And beloved, we need one another on the way. The Word of God said in verse number 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you, or speak against you as evildoers,
they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Beloved, they're watching. They're watching the bride. They're watching the body. They're watching the brethren. And I'll tell you, God said, love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. I want to say something tonight. Love is something you cannot manufacture. You can't muster it up. And I tell you, if you've ever been born again, God turned his bucket up and dumped it in your soul. He dumped the love of God. The Bible said, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you sealed to the day of redemption. The Bible said, hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I thank him tonight for the bride, don't you? I thank him for the brethren tonight. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Something else that's going to help us in this war with the soul, and that's a brokenness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever failed the Lord? I want to ask it again. How many has ever failed the Lord? How many has ever failed him miserably? How many remembers when it dawned on you? There's a brokenness sets in, Brother Kenny. He's so good to me, and look what I've done, or look what I've said, or look what I failed to do, Brother Steve. I mean, there's a brokenness that sets in a child of God's heart. You know, the Bible said, I'll draw nigh to him. God sees that brokenness, and here he comes. He'll come right in there close to that child of God. He'll say, it's going to be all right. I can remember one time, I didn't mean to tell this, but this one of my, I guess, in a way, worst childhood memories, and way the best childhood memory. I can remember my dad, he had a little gun cabinet. And my dad had a little wet rock, a simple little old thing. The company had given it to him. It was in a little plastic case. And oh, Daddy, he loved to teach, and I loved to learn. I can remember sitting up in that Ford. How many remembers when a young'un could sit on the fender and you could still work on the motor? How many knows what it was? A six-cylinder, Brother Steve. I can remember sitting on the fender inside, under the hood, watching my dad put points and plugs and condenser and watching him gap the points and have me to bump the starter and get it up on the high point. How many knows what I'm talking about? Anybody? Get it up on the high point on the cam. And many times I think he took a matchbook and set the points with that and set the timing. We didn't have a timing light, but Daddy had good ears. He just turned that thing, set the timing. He said, now hit the key, son. And when that timing was right, you hit the key. It wouldn't turn over half a lick, and it started, amen? But I'm going to tell you, my daddy, he was a teacher. He said, son, here's how you sharpen a knife. He'd go like this, like this, like this, like this. He said, now, son, you can use this wet rock anytime you want to. Ain't that a good daddy? He said, but don't take it from the house. He said, use it and put it right back. I wish Daddy hadn't have told me that. Because I thought it was so cool, Brother Preston. Them guys at school needs to see this. So I put it in my pocket. I directly disobeyed what my dad. Now listen, if I was a kid, I wasn't much over 8 or 9 years old. You say you had a pocket knife? Yeah, back then you could carry one to school. Say amen. But anyway, I lost it. I lost it. And I laid in the bed 3 nights in a row and cried myself to sleep. As far as I was concerned, Brother Gary, that wet rock must have cost $1,000 because Daddy said, don't take it from the house. I had been disobedient. My mama come by one night in my bedroom and heard me crying. She come in, sat down on the edge of the bed and said, Rick, honey, what's the matter? I said, Mama, I lost Daddy's wet rock. Oh, thank God for mamas. Mama said, honey, it'll be all right. I'll talk to Daddy. Hello. It'll be all right. We'll find it or we'll get him another one. And I went on off to sleep. I got up the next morning, opened the door on that old station wagon that looked like a hearse, and right there it laid by the seat. But I remember being broken because I had disobeyed my father and done something exactly what he told me not to do. You say, preacher, where did you find that in the Bible? Look here in verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside. Let me tell you something tonight. Listen, I've learned this. We're not going to lay anything aside until we get broken over it. Until we realize, Brother Mike, how much it hurts our Father. The Word of God said, lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking. Lay it aside. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are not winning the war with the soul because there's some things they're going to hang on to come hell or high water, and they're not willing to lay it aside. The Word of God said here, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. You know, the first thing we think about when we read something like that, at least I do, is maybe a member of the opposite sex lusting after a woman. But it goes much deeper and further than that even. Beloved, this flesh is guilty of a lot of things. Turn with me to Ephesians quickly. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. I want you to notice something. Drunkenness is not even mentioned. Watch it. Sodomy is not even mentioned. I'm going to tell you, it's not hard to get Baptists to holler amen when you're preaching against drunkenness, or you're preaching against sodomy, or you're preaching against gambling. Or at least most Baptists will shout when you're preaching against it. Watch this. It's not even mentioned. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. I used to have a friend. Miss Steve, you remember Steve. This was my saying about Steve. Not that Steve. There's another Steve. I said this about him, Brother Steve. I said he'd rather argue than eat. It didn't matter what you were talking about. He'd rather argue than eat. And he loved to eat. Just like I did. Watch this now. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen. Somebody said this one time. Said, when you're throwing mud, you're the one losing ground. And I believe we're losing the war against the soul when we're trying to get the mote out of our brother's eye and we got a beam in our own eye. How many believes that's right tonight? There's fleshly lust which war against the soul. We'll never lay it aside until we're broken on the inside. We'll never lay it aside until we're broken on the inside. Well, that's what God give me. How many believes God wants us to win? He wants us to win. We're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory that's already been won at Calvary. Brother Ralph, I like the song. I don't know if we've sung it around here. I just don't remember. But have you ever heard the song, I'm on the winning side? I'm on the winning. You heard that, Brother Ralph? It's a good one, ain't it? I'm on the winning side. So or to live like I'm on the winning side. Or to win the war that's waging against my soul because I'm on the winning side. How many's glad you come tonight?